I'm going to ask that we turn in our Bibles again to Romans chapter 12. Now, I want you to know the pastor was at the picnic like you were all day, so the message may reflect that. Amen. Romans chapter 12. Amen. Saturday is my preparation day, but the picnic took a lot out of me. Romans chapter 12. Just want to lift up verse number 2. Second verse of the 12th chapter of the book of Romans. The apostle has written these words: "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be not conformed, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Lose your mind. Lose your mind. The problem with many of us is not the wrong we do, but the wrong we think. It's not simply wrong action. We don't have the right attitude. We do bad things because we have bad thoughts. We do wrong because we're thinking wrong. Because we think we're a nobody, we don't try and do much of anything. Because we see ourselves as grasshoppers, we think everybody is a giant looking down on us. Because we have low self-esteem, we can only practice low-down ways. Because we think we have no worth, we don't appreciate the value others place on us. Because we have the wrong thoughts, we do the wrong things. We have wrong behavior because we have wrong beliefs. We can't do the right because we're not thinking right. Because all our thoughts are on yesterday, we have no vision for the future. Because all we think about is what has been, we have no belief about what can be. Because we're not sure of what we are afraid of what we are becoming. Because we have the wrong attitude, we can't reach the proper altitude. Because we have low-down thoughts, we can't live life on a higher level. We live in the wrong life because we're having the wrong thoughts. Because we have a messed up mind, we live in a messed up life. Our problem is not what happens to us, but what happens in us. It's not how we look, it's our outlook on what we see. It's not how others describe us, it's how we perceive ourselves. It's not where we live, it's how we think. It's not what's around us, it's mess that's in us. It's not that we can't do. The problem is we don't believe that it can be done. Because we have limited thinking, we live limited lives. Because we think defeat, we don't get in the ring and join in the fight. Because we see ourselves as a victim, we have no hope of victory. Because we think we don't deserve better, we make do with a little. Because we're thinking wrong, we can't live right. Our problem is not the hood. Our problem is in the head. Our problem is not those who are prejudiced. Our problem is we have misjudged ourselves. It's not our reality, it's our perception. It's not what we are, it's what we think we is. It's not how we are treated by others, it's how we see ourselves. Because we have wimpish thoughts, we can't see ourselves as warriors. Because we see ourselves as losers, we have no concept of winning. Because we think we are what others say we are, we can't see ourselves becoming more. The problem with many of us is not the wrong we do, but the wrong we think. We live messed up lives because we have messed up thoughts. We more sick in mind than we are in body. We have a mental illness that's far worse than any physical disease. We have incurable thoughts that do more damage than terminal sickness. I tell you, what we expect determines what we receive. The thoughts we conceive in our heads decides the reality we give birth to in our lives. If you are pregnant with the negative, you will give birth to low self-esteem. If you can only conceive the mundane, you can never deliver the miraculous. If your conception is death, your dreams will always be aborted, and you will only give birth to nightmares. When you have a problem in your head, you will have a problem in your life. When you have the wrong perception, you can't have the right reality. You can't live right thinking wrong. What life delivers has a lot to do with what we expect. I tell you, what life gives you is determined by what you give, and what you give is determined by what you think. Where you are at says something about who you are. Your surroundings are a declaration of your thinking. If you want things to change, you're going to have to change. If you want new stuff, you're going to have to become a new you. You can change things if you first change you. And since wrong thinking messed up your reality, you're going to have to learn to think the right way to think yourself out of a mess. See, your mess is not just about location. Your mess is a product of thinking. Help me, Holy Ghost. Before you get a new address, you need a new attitude. See, the wrong thinking can turn a mansion into a slum. When you thinking wrong, you can get out of a mess, but you can't get the mess out of you. The problem with some of us is the problem of thinking. We don't do wrong, but neither do we think right. Don't cuss with our lips, but there is profanity in our thoughts. We've never killed a soul, but there's an attitude of hate in our mind. I tell you, we try to change things, but it can't be done till you change self. We focus on action when the problem is attitude. We want folks to act right, and that's the problem. All they can do is act. Help me, Holy Ghost. Because we grumble in our thinking, there is no gratitude on our lips. Because we are not grateful, we don't know how to be gracious. Too many of us have an attitude because we lack gratitude. We don't know we're blessed, and we don't know we're better than blessed. We let minor trouble blind us to life's big blessings. We let what we're going through cause us to forget the one who has taken us through. Instead of being grateful, we're ready to grumble. Instead of thinking about how good God is, we're mad because somebody less than God let us down. Got life, health, and strength, and you're still looking for something to gripe about. Woke up this morning with blood running warm in your veins, still have a frown on your face and a chip on your shoulder. Have a new name over in Zion, yet you still upset because somebody didn't call your name at the church social. Because you have an attitude, you don't know how to show gratitude. Oh, I tell you, people who are not grateful for what they have, are people who don't expect life to get any better. They can't invest the little they possess because they don't believe they can produce any more. They grumble about what they have because they don't expect to get any better. They don't want to take a risk, and they don't want to rise to the challenge. They don't like life as it is, but they don't want to take responsibility to make life better. They think about problems, but they never expect solutions. Some folks only grumble because they only expect something to gripe about. They always whining because they only think like a wimp. They always need a handout because they always think that they're helpless. Because they have low expectations, they live life minus any excitement. Because they think change is bad, they are afraid of a challenge. Now hear me, I'm gonna preach this thing anyhow. I feel my help coming on. Hear me. Life is hard on everybody, but attitude affects how you handle what life dishes out. Everybody has to deal with pain, but as someone said, those with a poor attitude become a magnet for the unpleasant. See, a bad attitude makes a bad situation worse. Negative thinking will multiply trouble. See, sometimes in your soul, life will plant the seed of the negative, but your attitude can either be the fertilizer that helps it grow or the weed killer that causes it to die. Help me, Holy Ghost. See, some things that happen are not totally God's will. Sometimes the problem is the choice of our attitude in the situation. See, some of us have trouble because all we do is predict problems. We don't have any joy because we always prophesy doom. Can't enjoy the sunshine because we forecast in stormy weather. Can't enjoy the Holy Ghost because all we can see is hypocrites in the church. We can't conceive of what God is doing because we can't forget what some Negro did. I tell you, some folks have no joy and have no job because of their thinking. Lost their promotion and lost sight of their purpose because of their thinking. Marriage ruined and money gone because of their thinking. Somebody left you and the dog went with them because of your thinking. No house for dwelling and no home for love because of your thinking. The problem with some of us is the problem of thinking. Our problem is in our mind. We have psychological issues that causes pain in our lives. We have mental stress that blinds us to God's glory. We have a spiritual chemical imbalance that keeps us from living a stable life. For some of us, our problem is in our head. In the text. Thought I had forgot about it. In the text, Paul talks about change. But it's not change in things. It's change in thoughts. Paul does not say we need a new place to live. Paul says we need a new way of living. Paul is not dealing with address. Paul is talking about attitudes. Paul is not about blaming others for our failures. Paul wants us to take responsibility for our thoughts. To change the outer, Paul says, let's deal with the inner. Paul says, you don't need a makeover, you need a new mind. You don't need liposuction, you need to get rid of that inflated ego. You don't need folks to treat you better, you need to realize you better than folks treat you. Paul says, let's not deal with your action, let's start with your mind. Let's start with your attitude. Let's not focus on your behavior, let's deal with your beliefs. But Paul says, let's deal with your mind. You're not living right because you're not thinking right. You will have some joy if you get rid of the wrong thoughts. But Paul says, if you come up with a new way of thinking, you'll have a new way of living. If you get better thoughts, you'll have a better life. Help me, Holy Ghost. A renewed mind will give you a new life. See, we like to start with our life, but Paul says, start with your mind. We want a new job, but Paul says, a new mind will make an old job new. But Paul says, our problem is our mind. Now Paul says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. But Paul wants us to change, and Paul says the way to change is to change your mind. Before you seek to change your path, change your thoughts. Before you resign, renew your mind. Before be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. But Paul says, I want to see change, but it's not real change unless there is a change in your mind. See, God is not overly concerned about what we do. God cares more about what we think. Believe it or not, we are not what we do. We are what we think. I mean, we can do stuff to hide what we think. Come on. Some of you saying amen. Hide what you think. Come on. We can do a good deed while we're up to no good. We can do the right thing with the wrong motive. We know how to use action to camouflage thinking. We judge people by what they do, but God identifies us by what we think. Help yourself, preacher man. And my Bible still says, as a man think it, so is he. God declares you are and you will be what you think. You will become whatever is in your head. Not only do you reap what you sow, you can get a harvest from your thoughts. If you think it can't be done, you will encounter failure. If you think you can't succeed, your thoughts will sabotage success. If you think nobody cares, your thoughts will cause you to be by yourself. What you think will determine what you are. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. What you need, I wish Patty was here. What you need is a new attitude. What you need is a new way of thinking. Before you try and get a new walk, try and get some new thoughts. Before you change location, change thinking. Before you change partners, change your mind. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul says, change things by the changing of your thinking. But Paul says, change self so your surroundings can become better. Paul says, by the renewing of your mind. Paul, I need you to help me with this word, and I need you to help me with the text. What does it mean to be transformed? And what do you mean when you talk about the renewing of the mind? But Paul says, well, to be transformed is to be transfigured. And to be transfigured is like what happened to Jesus on the mountain. It's when what God has placed in you comes out of you. You no longer view by the natural, but you give revelation to the supernatural. The spiritual overshadows the physical. You're not just a nobody struggling in the world, but you are God's anointed ruling in the kingdom. You have transformation because there is alteration in your thinking. Life still gives you a lemon, but instead of being a sourpuss, you become a dispenser of lemonade. Help me, Holy Ghost. You start singing an anthem of praise even while living the life of blues. You believe in victory in spite of being victimized. You get new ideals and new beliefs. You don't just go to God for new stuff. You let God mold your mind and change your life. You don't need a new title. You want God to give you a new vision. You want to change your whole way of thinking. Instead of a new menu, you let God give you some new taste buds. Paul says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't alter worship, but change your attitude towards praise. Don't get a new translation of the Bible. Get a transformation in your way of thinking about the word. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul, I don't mean any harm, but you can see for yourself, I ain't getting no help. I'm not sure you helping me out, Paul. See, Paul, I've got to preach to some folks who have to deal with the issues of lostness. I've got some folks, they have been whipped and they have been hurt. I've got some folks, they don't like how things are moving. They don't understand what's going on. They've lost their job and they've lost their joy. They're about to lose the house, and they've already lost their hope. They done lost their power, and they have lost their peace. They have lost the war, and they have lost the prize. They have lost their freedom, and they have lost their friends. They have lost self-respect, and they have lost determination. Paul, I'm trying to preach to a people dealing with some loss. But Paul says, brother preacher, tell your folks and tell God's people, if they already dealing with loss, if life has given them a bad string of losses, if this is the season for losing, tell them there's one more thing they need to lose. They need to lose their mind. They need to lose their perception and their way of thinking. They need to lose their agenda and their attitude. They need to lose their mind. They need to stop trying to be sane and go crazy trusting God. They need to forget about facts and start believing in faith. Tell your folks they need to lose their mind. They don't have faith because they have sense. They've lost their joy because they don't serve a radical God. They want life to be logical, yet they're trying to serve an illogical God. They're going to have to lose their mind. Tell your folks that the word says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, I've got sense enough to know that you can't have two objects in the same space. You can't have two objects in the same space. Now, if I already got a mind, but I'm going to get another mind, some mind got to go. What you're saying, Paul, tell your folks that they need to lose their mind. I don't understand, Paul. They still not getting it. They still looking at me funny. They still think I got my own agenda. They still don't want to hear from me. Paul, I need some help. Well, Brother Sanders, I'm tired of you. But I'll pass your name round up in glory. Brother Peter, can you help the boy out? Peter, what do you say about it? Just tell him you can walk on the water if you lose your mind. Brother Joshua, what do you say about it? Just tell him the walls will come tumbling down if you lose your mind. Mary and Martha, will you testify? Just tell them the dead can live again if you lose your mind. Brother Ezekiel, can't you tell me something? Just tell them dry bones can live again if you lose your mind. If you want some power, lose your mind. If you want some joy, lose your mind. If you want a breakthrough, lose your mind. If you want a miracle, lose your mind. The problem with some of us, if not all of us, is the problem in our mind. Believe it or not, all of us mental. All of us need a little group therapy. But hear me, this is what Paul is saying. We don't need therapy and counseling to regain our mind. It's our mind that has caused us to need the counseling. You don't need to reclaim your mind. You need somebody who can help you get rid of your mind. And that's who the Holy Ghost is. That's why the Holy Ghost came all the way from heaven down. His job is to help me lose my mind. You see, without the Holy Ghost, I look at facts. But with the Holy Ghost, I walk by faith. Without the Holy Ghost, I'm looking for logic. But with the Holy Ghost, I can believe that what is not and is already is. You can't make it if you don't have any Holy Ghost power. You can't make it until you lose your mind. I heard somebody say, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Then I hear the Lord God Almighty say, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Now, if we got to be agreed in order to walk together, and if God's way of thinking is not like my way of thinking, if I'm going to walk with God, I got to forget my ways. I've got to forget my thoughts. I've got to forget my will. I've got to forget my agenda. I've got to let God have his way. Some of you still don't hear me. And you will not be blessed. Because you're going to go out of here with the sense you came in with. But God can't use you and God can't bless you until you lose your mind. And I don't mean any harm, but for some of us, including me, for some of us, since it's already almost gone, I mean, you find it hard to hold on to it right now. Let it go! And trust God to give you the mind which was in Christ Jesus. Doors of the church are now open. Invitation to Christian discipleship is now extended. Man, woman, boy, girl, I'm not going to ask you to lose your car. I'm not going to ask you to lose your home. I'm not going to even ask you to lose your lifestyle. I just want to ask you to come forward and say to the Lord, I'm willing to lose my mind, not change my mind. Because if you change your mind, you can change it back. But say to the Lord, I'm willing to give up my agenda. That's how you lose your mind. It's not that God wipes your mind out. It's that you submit your will to the will of God the Father. And you do know that whenever there is a struggle, it's because there are at least two factions at war. Huh? And when you find that you and God are always in agreement, you know what has really happened? God has left and you don't miss it. But when you are truly walking with God, there is a constant struggle and a daily battle. And every day you have to lose your mind. Every day you have to say, not my will, but thy will be done. Man, woman, boy, girl, come on, give your life, give your heart, give your mind to Jesus Christ. Is that not one?